live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 21st day of May, 2026. I am honored with the privilege today of having a first-time guest. His name is Pavel Steiger, who is an author, a radio missionary, translator, publisher, and conference speaker in the Czech Republic. And today he is going to be addressing the theme of his book, My Glory, I Will Not Give to Another. And the subtitle of this is A Study in the Absolute Sovereignty of God. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pavel Steiger.
Yeah, hello. Thank you, Chris, for having me on your show. And, where to start? Well, I am from Czechoslovakia and Czech Republic originally. Maybe I should introduce myself a little bit, who I am, how I became a Christian, and so on. So I was born in 1941, and my background was Catholic, so I used to be a altar boy. But in 1952, because my father exploited 5 employees in his little shop, so we were chased out and expelled out of Prague, and he actually ended up in coal mines in Ostrava. So it was quite a bad situation for us. And since I was in Ostrava, so I was studying the geological engineering, that's about it, about my education. I have no education, I mean, as far as the theology goes. And in 1968, there was the Russian occupation in Czechoslovakia. And because it's probably not the best to stay there, because there used to be, you know, the saying that we should go forever with the Soviet Union, but I didn't want to go forever, I mean, with them. So we actually left in 1969. I was 28 years old. I left Czechoslovakia with my wife and 2 boys, and the 2 boys were just 1 and 2 years old, so they were quite small. So when we came to the United States, I must say, you know, it was actually very interesting. I was very scared, you know, because I thought, you know, this is a huge, big country, and, you know, who I am, who can actually start, I mean, life with 2 kids in America. So when we arrived, it was actually then by God's providence, even though I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God absolutely at all, I mean, in those years. So we ended up in Idaho, in northern Idaho, in Osborne, Idaho. And I actually got the job over there because I was from Czechoslovakia, and there was an engineer, very well known. He was from Czechoslovakia too. He was very, very liked, and that's why I was hired over there. It was quite an experience. And I just want to tell you one little thing which I really appreciated, what happened to us in the United States. When we arrived to this small town near Wallace, Idaho, people just took care of us. The Lions Club took care of us. Within a week, we had the apartment. It was fully furnished. It was absolutely great. I think it was something. And then what happened, the pastors, it was a small town, about 3,000-4,000 people, and about 5, 6, or 7 churches. And the pastors were coming to our home and just telling us, you know, about the Lord and so on. But we were very, we somehow didn't want to hear about it. But what caught me, there was the Baptist pastor, and he adopted 2 children of American Vietnamese descent, because, you know, there were some in Vietnam, there were some American children after the soldiers, so they actually were taken. It was really something which caught my attention. So I was there in a class, and then I was transferred to Los Angeles, and in Los Angeles I was working for Atlantic Shield Company. Some people will know the oil company, which is still in the West, especially the stations. And then actually I started, when I was in Los Angeles, I was closing like 30 years or 32 years of age. And I started living, this is from weekend to weekend, I would say. I just worked for 5 days, and I was looking for the weekend, and we were good group, I mean, with the other Czech people, and it was quite strange to me. I was just saying, why I'm actually living like this, you know, for these weekends. And I was actually, in those days, I would say that up to when I was 33, I was immortal. But after I was 33, then I started thinking, you know, what is the life about? Why I'm actually here? What's going on? So I was just thinking, you know, that how come that the life is that I was not before I was born, now I am, and then I will not be, which means nothing, something, nothing. So if some life is, I mean, just hanging in between two nothingnesses, then I said, what is the reason actually for living? It doesn't matter if I am, I will not be, then it doesn't matter if I'm rich or poor, or if I am there, or if I am bold, or if I'm healthy, or if I am sick, or all those things, you know. So it was quite strange to me. So I was smiling on the outside when we were getting together on the weekends with our friends, but I was kind of stressed and crying on the inside, and nobody noticed that on me, not even my wife probably didn't notice that. So then I was trying to look, you know, what is the, how to get outside of it. I was looking at astrology. It didn't help. Then I was starting to reading the books. Probably you will may know Erik von Däniken. And there was the outer space civilization, that actually we were planted on this earth by outer civilization. And then I had the problem if we were made, you know, or planted here by the green man who actually made the green man. So it again did not help me, absolutely not at all. So then I was looking at literature, reading, and so on. And when I was 37 years old, it was in 1978, I visited a secondhand bookshop in Los Angeles at the lunchtime. And you know, this literature, I mean, the outer space civilization and other things like astrology and so on, was just the next to the spiritual literature. And then I don't know how my hand went, and I just pulled out from the shelf a book, and the book was called, and I think many listeners now, especially the older ones, will remember it. The book was called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. And And I opened the book, and when I opened the book, then I read the line that the Russians will attack Israel. And it was the point I immediately picked up the book. I paid the full 99 cents for it, and it occupied my mind, because I was, you know, the Russians or the Soviet Union occupied Czechoslovakia, and now I said those rascals. I used much harsher words than, of course, their dear words. And I said, well, they are now going to occupy Israel. So I started reading this book. And surely there was the eschatology. I am not in line with it right now, not at all. But there was gospel. There was the telling me that at the end of the book that I'm a sinner and that I need a savior, personal savior. So it really was... very interesting for me. I started reading another book. So I was reading so many books, and I didn't want anybody who would help me in my belief, because I was just saying to myself, when I grow crazy, then I do not need outside help for it. So I am fully capable of doing it on my own. That's about it. So then my wife, you know, when she discovered, you know, that she, oh boy, there are wives, you know, they have drunkards, they have the womanizers, they have some men or husbands who are not taking care of the family. So she just said, oh, I have just a crazy man. So that's basically how it started. And again, I was trying to avoid believers. Really, I was just reading the books, and probably that's why, you know, I was writing books or articles and started a magazine, and then when in my work in Atlantic Ritual Company. There was a draftsman, and he told me, because he knew that I was in this stage of believing, and I was believing, you know, I was quite, it just caught me. I was so fired that I just burned some books, you know, I had. I just didn't want to have it even at home. So then the draftsman in Arco, he directed me to Grace Community Church, to where John MacArthur was preaching. And again, so when we went to the church, it was quite amazing, quite interesting, because there were so many people, and when we walked in, you know, they were just, embrace me, brother. And I didn't want to be embraced. I just wanted to sit down, and I just wanted to hear the gospel. Then there was music. I didn't want to hear the music, because it was just postponing the preaching, which I wanted to listen to. So then in that time, because I didn't hear anything like that before, and of course I knew something of Catholicism, but nobody ever told me, you are a sinner, you need a savior, the Lord loves you, and so nothing like that. Absolutely, I just thought in those days, you know, that if there is a God, so he will be good to the good people, he will be bad to the bad people, he will send them to hell, something like that, you know. It was so then I thought, you know, that I am probably the only Czech in the world who heard the gospel, and then it just pushed me and urged me to write a book. So I wrote a book, which was called "The Battle for the Soul," and it was of course in Czech, and I actually sold my beloved Volkswagen. I just said, you know, it has to be published. I just sold my beloved Volkswagen, and exactly the check for the Volkswagen, you know, it was enough to pay the printer. And we were just trying to send it around the United States. It couldn't be able, it it couldn't be mayor to the Czechoslovakia then, because it was a communist, country. But when we returned to Czechoslovakia as full-time missionaries, the radio missionaries, then the book was again published in Czech Republic, and it was quite popular, and many people actually were introduced to the gospel, and they believed. In 1985, when I published the book in America, I was transferred with Arco to Jakarta, to Indonesia. So we spent 4 years in Indonesia. And since half of the people in that Kebayoran Baptist Church spoke, you know, English just like me, you know, the funny and proper English. So I gathered the courage to teach Sunday school. And that's where I actually started working. I mean, except that book, I started really working on my kind of missionary work. And when we were in Jakarta, I started recording programs in Czech. They were 20 minutes long. It was once a week. I wrote, you know, some subject or some kind of preaching or interesting things. And I recorded it in Jakarta in a Christian studio. And those tapes then, they were mailed to Monte Carlo. And in Monte Carlo, there was Transworld Radio. And Transworld Radio broadcasted these 20-minute programs weekly to Czechoslovakia, which was still communist then. So I was always calling myself the Pavel from Jakarta. And of course, the listeners, I mean, the Christian listeners in Czechoslovakia, they absolutely didn't know who is it, who actually is that Pavel of Jakarta, and so on. So pretty soon we were starting getting some letters from Czechoslovakia, and people wanted transcripts from those programs. So what I did, we started with my wife, Clara, we started a magazine, and the magazine is called after my first book, The Battle for the Soul. And it was such a small, it was 24 pages, it was written just on typewriter first once, then came the computer, so it was getting better and better, looking on the outside, and we absolutely couldn't believe it is still published in Czech Republic right now. It is published not by us, because we are already seniors, and we wouldn't have the strength probably and time, you know, to do it. And it's actually published here for 37 years. I just couldn't believe it would never come to my, or came to my mind that it would be for such a long time. And it's a quite popular magazine. It's about 3,000 circulations, which is a lot. The Czechoslovakia has about, or Czech Republic has about, how many, maybe 10 million people. And we don't have too many Christians over here. That, I mean, especially the Protestant or the Bible-believing Christians. So that's how we published it. So in 1990, I quit the job, I mean, with Atlantic Israel, and I just quit the corporate world and joined HCJB World Radio. It was in Quito, Ecuador. So I spent 1 year with my wife in Quito, Ecuador, and we were broadcasting everything, of course, writing and broadcasting everything was in Czech language. And then in 1989 came revolution. I mean, in Czechoslovakia still, and the communism fell. And in 1993, we returned back. I mean, to our native country as full time missionaries, and it was more the publishing. We started one, we planted one church over here, but but it was just on the side. But and other people were preaching in it. I was preaching in that church as well. And the radio actually stopped when all these new technologies on internet started. So that's probably all the testimony I would have. And our missions over here in Czechoslovakia and since 1993 in Czech Republic was mainly publishing that magazine. Then we were publishing some books. And then I was did some speaking in conferences, and when I was invited to churches, I spoke. And then for about 4 years, from time to time, I was speaking in the church we visited here in Prague. So that's basically an introduction.
Okay, I wanted to introduce to my guests someone who is here on standby in case we need a translator for any reason, Jan Prorok, who is a minister in the CREC denomination, which is also known as the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, and he is also in the Czech Republic. And welcome to the program, Jan, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be of service to us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And if you don't mind, tell us how you came to Christ yourself, if you give us a brief explanation of your salvation testimony, and also how you came to discover and befriend our primary guest today, Pavel Steiger.
Okay. I thought I was just supposed to be the translator, but I'll give you a brief story. I grew up as the average Czech kid in a non-believing family. Christianity was something that was basically rejected in our home. We never really talked about it. We knew that, you know, Sky Daddy is a crazy idea. And over time, I was bullied as a kid, and I was trying to deal with the reality of evil somehow, because I experienced a lot of it, and I was trying to find a reason why. Why is there evil? Why is there suffering? And when I was 10 or 11, I read the Satanic Bible by Abdon Chandra LaVey. And that kind of became my worldview for the next couple of years.
Wow.
And not a typical reading for an 11-year-old.
Yeah, right.
And so my worldview was, okay, everything that's bad in the world is caused by Christianity. You should be your own God. You know, you should define your right and your wrong. But it still didn't give me the answers that I was looking for. So I was going deeper and deeper, trying to find answers in the occult and neo-paganism. And over time, I got to what is called orthodox or theistic Satanism. I came to the conclusion that Satan is actually the one that I wanted to serve. I was very open about worshiping Satan, about calling Satan my Lord. And that's what I basically did with my life. And I was basically suicidal since the time I was 11 or so. And when I was about 19, I came to a point where I wanted to kill myself and hopefully take some people with me.
Wow.
But then I realized that this is something that Satan wanted me to do, but there was something in me that still wanted to live. And I realized that I was really enslaved, that over the years I was acknowledging that I was Satan's slave, and I was fine with it. And then I kind of realized I am Satan's slave, and I need to get out of this. I don't want to destroy myself. And at that moment, I knew that if Satan is so real as I was experiencing him, that the other side, that God was real. And I knew that the only way out was that Jesus, whom I had been blaspheming for the last nearly 10 years. So I prayed, Lord Jesus, I don't know much about you, but I know you are God. Do whatever you want with me. Have me sent to the Middle East, have, you know, some crazy wack will cut my head off, but save me from this. And I underwent a radical change. And I realized that I really became a new man. I was shocked by the change that happened in my life. And I was like, okay, that means I'll have to be a Christian. So I pick up the Bible and I start reading what I actually committed to. I said, okay, Jesus, save me from this. I'll be a Christian. And he helped me. He changed me. I was like, okay, I need to keep my part of the bargain. I'll need to study what it means to be a Christian. And by God's grace, pretty soon I started listening to some of the American teachers, first from the Young Restless Reformed circles, but I quickly got to something more substantive and deeper and more historic. And by God's grace, I've been a Christian for 15, 16 years.
Hallelujah.
And God has been really good to me.
Hallelujah. I would love to have you back on the program to give a deeper and lengthier explanation of your whole life and transformation, because that would be a fascinating interview. But feel free during this interview with Pavel to ask questions of your own if you want to chime in from time to time. In fact, you failed to include in that how you came to know Pavel.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I forgot to include you in the story.
Yeah.
Well, at that time, I moved to Prague because there was a small theological seminary and I wanted to study there. Because I kind of had a similar experience like Pavel. Because after a couple of years in the Czech, very shallow evangelicalism, I was hearing the gospel from these American preachers. So I'm like, I've never heard that before. You know, I've been attending a church here, but nobody has told me all these beautiful and glorious things. People just don't know. So I went to a seminary with the idea I'll get theological education there. And that's what got me in Prague. And then somewhere I heard that there was a new conservative evangelical church starting. And we got, me and my wife, all excited about it. And that's where we met Pavel, because he was one of the people in the core team that was starting the church. So that's how we met.
Oh, praise God. Well, we are going to go to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to find out more about these wonderful doctrines that have been nicknamed Calvinism. They have been nicknamed the doctrines of sovereign grace. They have been nicknamed Reformed theology. And the guest that we have on today, to remind you, is Pavel Steiger. And he has included a brilliant, very detailed, and very thorough and comprehensive book, My Glory I Will Not Give to Another, A Study in the Absolute Sovereignty of God, featuring these doctrines that I have just given you a brief introduction to. And we're going to be finding out more about how he came to discover these doctrines and fall in love with them and reach the point of compiling them in this wonderful book. If anybody has questions, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word, for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, this is Brian Nyan, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, my guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron radio is Pavel Steiger, who has written a book, My Glory, I Will Not Give to Another. We also have serving as a co-host today and translator, if need be, Jan Prorok, a Christian translator in the Czech Republic, who is also a Reformed minister of the gospel. If you have questions, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And Pavel, you mentioned that you had been introduced to Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, where the late John MacArthur was the pastor. I'm assuming it was there that you first discovered the doctrines of sovereign grace, also known as Reformed theology and Calvinism. Was that where you discovered and first heard those teachings?
Only partly, I would say. Let's put it this way. Yes, John MacArthur was clearly Calvinistic, but he never mentioned the word Calvinism. And I started getting more and more knowledge about Calvinism when I was reading books of R.C. Sproul. That's where I really deeply went into the doctrine. But probably I would like to say that I was discovering on my own in the Bible that probably really I was elected, that it was the election of God and not mine. I was discovering, you know, in the Bible that Christ very likely did not die for everyone. And I was very scared of this thought, you know. I was actually asking God for I asked God, you know, to how to say it in English,
I don't know if you could help him out, Jan.
I asked God, you know, to forgive me. I mean, for such thoughts, you know, they were in my mind, you know, they were quite. But then I started realizing, and when I read the books of R.C. Sproul, then I was really relieved that it is truly so, because I started thinking this way: election. Actually, everything is election. There is nothing which would happen by chance. The Lord God, actually, He just chose this kind of the world. I was just thinking, you know, my technical thinking, that he could actually create, you know, myriads of worlds, but he just elected this particular world, or because I think it would give him the most glory. So this world was elected by him. Then of course he elected humanity. He actually chose humanity. His counsel was set, and whatever pleased him, he did. He created. He elected Abraham, he elected Noah, he elected Isaac, and we know how it went with Abraham, how it went with Isaac, and he elected Jacob and not as Esau, and so on. And then I was thinking this way, that how, let's say, the Virgin Mary came to it to be a mother of the humanity of Jesus Christ. She didn't ask for it. She was just elected for it. And if somebody, and then let's say, if I look at myself or you two guys, or brothers, we were elected too. We just didn't ask, you know, to be. It was his pleasure that I will be, that you, Chris, will be, and Jan will be. It was his pleasure. So we were elected or chosen by him to this life, to this body, and he created our soul. So this was, you know, kind of thinking I had. And then, of course, when I went to Bible, and when I was introduced by R.C. Sproul, mainly, that it really just really 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 get me. And then when I got, you know, to Romans, all those Romans 9, 15, 16, I have the quote, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. And this is quite a strong statement by our Lord. And this is actually a quotation of Exodus 33:19. And when we go to Exodus 33, let's say 18:24, so that's gospel, actually. That's proto gospel, one of the first ones, and not of the first, but one of the first ones. In 18 verse, Exodus 33, Moses said, "Please show me your glory." Moses asked for God's glory, and God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name." So he was asking for goodness, and Lord showed him his name, his glory. And he said, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." This is exactly what Paul was repeating in Romans 9. And then actually it follows, which caught my mind, and maybe somebody may not agree with me, but verse 20 says in Exodus 33, he said, Lord said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock." There is the place we shall stand on the rock, and the rock is clearly, I believe, Jesus Christ, that he is the rock. And then he says, the Lord says, "And while my glory passes by, when it passes by, I will put you," he's talking to Moses, but I think he's talking to, this is a picture of all believers, "I will put you in a cleft of that rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by." If we are put into the cleft of the rock, and then we are actually lit or covered by his hand, so we are completely encapsulated in this rock. And I believe, some people may not, but I believe that this was Christ. And this was when his glory was passing by, when he was Christ, when he was crucified, then all the glory passed. That's actually the top of the glory, which is passing by when we were in that cleft in the throat, when we were encapsulated there, when we were immersed in that, when we were actually baptized in it, then that it was the greatest glory we can imagine. And then he says, then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Which means even when we see the greatest glory, we still cannot see the whole God. Because he is so big, he is without boundaries. So that's why that's these verses are so precious to me, that it was actually uncovered already to Jews, I mean, long time ago. So that's about the election, because he said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show my grace on whom I will show my grace.
And we have a question from a listener that I'd like to read, because I think it'd be wise to ask it early on in the interview to have a further explanation of why you even wrote the book. We have Lou in Sharpsburg, Georgia, who asks, was a primary motivation for writing your book to do with your interactions with Arminians, Provisionists, and others of like persuasion? Might as well throw in Catholics in there, because they are clearly in opposition to the teachings of Calvinism, and I'm assuming they dominate the Czech Republic. But if you could answer Lou's question.
Yeah, it was when we came to Czechoslovakia, the now Czech Republic, we found out that basically it was unknown, well, surely historically, yes, but the Christians which we met in churches and we talked to, so they were basically all Armenians, and that's why I started writing this book, just to introduce to them. First, actually, there were some articles in the magazine, The Battle for the Soul, as I mentioned before. So there were some articles, but from those articles, it grew up into the book. The book was published in 2017, so it's actually 9 years old. So that's how I started. It was the reason why I was prompted to do it. And then another reason was that that I believe that so strongly in my heart, because that's what I said. When I see anything in around myself, so everything is created by his pleasure, that because he wanted to do it, and it was one of the reason as well. But still, the second reason was that the people over here in Czech Republic, they just didn't believe it at large, not at all. I don't even recall that I would meet anybody who believed that way. So it was the main reason, I would say.
It seems that you came to such a firm understanding and belief in the doctrines of sovereign grace, primarily just from reading and studying the scripture. Years ago, when I worked for a radio station before I had my own show, an Orthodox Jewish journalist contacted me. He wanted to buy airtime from me to debate a fundamentalist Baptist pastor in Brooklyn, New York, where the Orthodox Jewish gentleman also lived. And I did sell him this airtime, and I was home listening to the debate on the radio, and this Orthodox Jewish man, who considered himself a student of the New Testament, even though he did not believe in its theology, he was not a Christian, but he had studied the New Testament and read it dozens of times. He came to the conclusion that all Christians must believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace. He didn't use that phraseology, but he was obviously defining in his opening statements in the debate. He was defining a Calvinistic understanding of Christianity that he was going to then proceed to oppose in his debate. And the pastor said, "Ira, you've got it all wrong. I'm not a Calvinist." And this Orthodox Jewish man said, "What's that?" And he said, "What's what you're explaining? You're talking about the teachings of Calvinism." And he said, "Well, I don't know what that word is. I never heard it before. I'm just saying that your Bible teaches these things."
Yeah.
So yeah. That's what it seems to be in your case as well, that you have gleaned all these truths primarily just from the study of Scripture.
That's Scripture and books. But I give you another example. A leader or president of a very well-known and one of the largest Protestant churches or church, he wrote me that Charles Spurgeon is an excellent preacher, was an excellent preacher, but as of Calvinism, he was wrong. Okay, so this is a large church over here. They, you know, the Brethren Church, so it's a pretty big church over here. So those are the reasons, you know. But you know, they just came along. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this also surprises me that you have no formal seminary education, because this is a brilliant compilation of the primary teachings. In fact, even going beyond just the core teachings of Calvinism, it even goes into the various lapsarian views, and it's well organized. It is just an extraordinary book. And my friend Joe Bianchi, the president of Calvary Press Publishing, who brought this into print, he believes it's one of the finest works on Calvinism that he's ever read in his life, and he's read many, and he believes it will be one day a classic. Let's see, we do have another question here. We have a question from Susan in Newville, Pennsylvania. And Susan says, "One of the greatest difficulties I have when trying to explain these teachings that I also love to other evangelicals who do not like them at all, and in fact hate them, is that they accuse me of believing in a God who is the author of sin because he preordains everything that comes to be. How do you get beyond that accusation when having interaction with Arminians and other non-Calvinists?" Pavel, could you answer that?
Yeah, can you repeat a little bit the question?
To summarize what Susan said or asked, she wants to know how you overcome the objection of Arminians and other non-Calvinists to the accusation of Calvinists believing God is the author of sin.
Yeah, no, I don't. I explained it quite in details in my book. He is for sure not the author of sin, and in no way. How to answer this?
You could ask Jan in Czechoslovakia. You could ask Jan Czechoslovakian, and perhaps he can articulate it in the book.
Já teď na to nevím přesně odpovědět, počkej, i když to mám. Yeah, it is written in the book quite well explained. It's over there, but I am not probably.
Well, maybe let me ask Jan, since you are a reform minister, how do you overcome that objection?
I would say that objection comes mainly from misunderstanding the very nature of God and his holy character. That's one. And the other is that reading through any Reformed confession, be it the Westminster, be it in 1689, they go pretty deep into theology of God's sovereignty and, you know, God being the primary cause of existence, but not being the cause of sin. So without trying to give just a canned answer, I would say these are questions that are answered in our confessions, in our catechisms. And I would say a helpful analogy, and it's just an analogy, but I think can work well for a layperson, would be imagine Tolkien. Okay, Tolkien wrote The Lord of the Rings. There's plenty of evil that happens in The Lord of the Rings. Is Tolkien to blame for all the murder, for all the violence, for all the slaughter that the goblins or that, you know, Sauron commit? In no way. You know, you can't bring Tolkien to, you know, to a judge and say this man is guilty of murder because look at what happens in his book. So God exists in his perfect infinite holiness on a whole different level of existence than we created beings do. And if this is not understood, because people tend to think about God as if he is like one of the many beings. He is like big us. But God exists in a whole different level of being. And that's one of the primary reasons why he is not ultimately the author of sin or the cause of sin. The sin is all ours. Just like the ogres or, you know, or just like all the evil that happens in the Lord of the Rings is really there, but on a whole different level of existence than Tolkien is. And this is kind of the illustration that Paul uses in Romans 9, because we need to realize Paul uses the image of the potter and the clay, but still the potter and the clay that are in Romans 9, they both are created. The potter is created by God and he works with the clay, but they are still way, 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 way closer. And in this way, then God is from us. God is, again, on an infinitely different level of existence. So Tolkien is closer on the level of his existence, on the level of his ontology, to Samwise Gamgee, because Tolkien is a created being and Sam is a secondarily created being. He is the creation of Tolkien. So they are way closer to each other because they are both created than we are in our existence to the uncreated God. So there's the analogy, the illustration that I'll use there.
And just to put my own two cents in, just so I could see if we could clarify this, there is a classic text about that really details God decreeing something evil to occur in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And it's that chilling group of verses where after King David has not only committed adultery with Bathsheba, but he has her husband Uriah murdered on the battlefield in order to cover up the fact that Bathsheba is pregnant with David's child, and it would be easily known that the child was not Uriah since he was refraining from relations with his wife while going about his duty on the battlefield and so on. And Nathan the prophet
confronts David, and God speaking through Nathan says, this is what the Lord says. Behold, I am going to raise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and in open daylight. So there you have God saying that he is raising up all these evil actions. But he did not have to make good men evil to conduct these evil acts. He just used men that were already evil to conduct these evil acts to bring about his will. Am I making sense there? Or do you agree with
I think so. Because the God sovereignly decides that something will happen. He was the one who actually decided that Jesus Christ will be crucified. It was his decree. It had to happen. But who does the crucifixion? Who does the sin? The sinner does. So everything is under the control of our Lord. But as I said, he sovereignly decrees what happens, and the one who actually commits the sin is the sinner.
Amen. And you brought up the most vivid example of all. When people object to God ordaining evil, and they say he does not do that, how on earth could the perfect sacrifice of his only begotten son on Calvary's cross have ever occurred without him decreeing this evil act of men? It was an act of murder.
It was an act of murder, and it was even a decree of God. I mean, it was his absolute decree that it would happen. And of course, his will, it was decreed, so it had to happen. But the murdering part was done by sinful men.
Yes, and by the way, folks, if you want to hear a wonderful interview I had with one of my former pastors, Mark Rimaldi, who is currently pastoring Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Tennessee. We conducted an interview on this most recent Good Friday on who was responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. And I think that you will all be blessed by hearing this interview. All you have to do is go to irontrepansironradio.com and type in Grimaldi in the search engine. And there's quite a number of links for different interviews with Pastor Mark Grimaldi. But the one that I am speaking of is right at the top right now, anyway, April 3rd, 2026. Who is responsible for the death of Jesus Christ? I think that you'll be blessed by that. We have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, if you would like to join us on the air with your own question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland. going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
And folks, please, for those of you who know that we are in urgent need of your financial help, if you've been listening to Iron Trip and Zion Radio with any regularity, and to those of you who didn't previously know, you're hearing it for the first time, we definitely need your help, and we would love for you to bless us, to enable us to remain on the air. As many of you know, we lost two of our largest advertisers here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio, one of which was a book distributor providing the finest in Reformed literature at the most reasonable prices for 50 years. And just recently, a couple of months ago, they had to permanently close their doors, and we lost a very valuable source of income and advertising. So please, Lord, please, folks, we really need your help to replace and replenish that lost income. In fact, to be perfectly honest, I had to take out a loan today from a life insurance policy to help pay for some urgently needed bills that are arising up every day. And so please help us replace and replenish this lost income, folks. Go to irontripandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at irontripandzionradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. If you would like to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private professional practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please, if you're interested in advertising, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Now, keep in mind, as urgently and as desperately as we need your financial help, I never want anybody in my audience to give less money to your own church where you're a member in order to bless Iron Trip and Zion Radio with a financial gift. Never do that. In other words, never cut into the finances that you specifically have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But having said that, if you love the show and you don't want it to go off the air, and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please share that money with us, some of that money with us. If you love the show and you don't want it to go off the air, go to irontrippandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a church that's biblically faithful, as I have done with many Iron Trip and Zion Radio listeners spanning the globe. I've helped listeners in my audience find biblically faithful churches in Mexico, in England, in Germany, and Africa, a number of different countries in Africa. So I may be able to help you too. So no matter where you live, if you're listening to this program and you are in need of a biblically faithful church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Pavel Steiger as we continue addressing his wonderful book, magnificent book that he has written, which is titled "My Glory I Will Not Give to Another: A Study in the Absolute Sovereignty of God." That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. That title of yours, Pavel, "My Glory I Will Not Give to Another," what a precious biblical teaching that really is at the core of the doctrines of sovereign grace, also known as Reformed theology, also known as Calvinism. That is really at the core of it all, because all of the rivals to Calvinism, whether they be Arminianism, Pelagianism, Semi-Pelagianism, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, and even religions outside of those that claim to be Christian, world religions and cults, they all, whether they are conscious of it or not, they are all attempting to share the glory of their salvation with God, are they not, Pavel?
Absolutely, absolutely. They are just they are just doing that because I would like to say over here why actually this book was written, because of the glory of God, because He is the one who died for His people, and let me just illustrate it on. Why this book was written, and it was one of the reasons on the text Romans 5:8-11. I would first read the text and then I will do such a little switch. The Romans 5:8-11 is this: "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His love. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Well, now over here we clearly see that this applies to us. And, you know, and we have, I mean, in this Czech Republic and everywhere, I talk to people, they just don't like the third point of Calvinism. They do not like the limited atonement. And we clearly see that Christ died for us, not for everyone. And what I did in my book, that I replaced the "us" by "all men without exception." Us and all those "we" and so on, I replaced with the "all men without exception." And now the Romans 5:8-11, quote unquote, of course, sounds like this: "But God shows His love for all men without exception," and this is exactly what the Arminians love, "in that while all men without exception were still sinners," that's okay, "Christ died for all men without exception," still acceptable by Arminians. Now 9, "since therefore all men without exception have now been justified by his blood. Much more shall all men without exception be saved by him from the wrath of God. And this is total nonsense already. It's folly. For if while all men without exception were enemies, all men without exception were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now, all men without exception are reconciled, shall all men without exception be saved by his love. And now more than that, all men without exception also rejoice in God through all men without exceptions, Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all men without exception have now received a reconciliation. So we will get complete nonsense because really, this is always only for us. This is clearly said that God shows his love for us, and we are talking about the love, the saving love. It is directed and pointed only for us since we were sinners, but Christ died again for us. So there is the divine love which saves, directed only to us. But it means to all those God has elected. And when I was thinking about this, I actually discovered, I am not the only one who discovers these things at all, but when I was reading these Romans 5, 8 through 11, I just saw that all 5 points of Calvinism are actually in these verses. If we read it again, so, but God shows his love for us, which means only for us, unconditionally, which is sovereignly elect, which is the point two, that's the unlimited atonement. In that, while we were still sinners, even sinners, which means totally spiritually incapable and depraved, that's the total depravity, that's the point number one of Calvinism. And then Christ efficaciously and persistently redeemed only us, which is point three, limited atonement. Verse 9, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, which means only we have been efficaciously and purposefully justified by the cross of the Christ, which is point three, that's limited atonement, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. Only we were preserved to the end, which is point five, that's the perseverance of the saints. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, which means utterly spiritually incapable and corrupt, which is point one, total depravity, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, which is only we have been efficaciously and purposefully reconciled by Christ to God. Point three, limited atonement. And much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Only we will be preserved to the end, which is point five. That's the perseverance of the saints. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only we rejoice in the pardon and efficacious calling of the Spirit, which is point four, that's irresistible grace. And last, through whom we have now received reconciliation, Christ efficaciously and purposefully received only us. Point three, limited atonement. So I think just in these five verses, there is everything. There is limited atonement. It is only for us who were elected by his choice. It pleasured him. And all 5 points of Calvinism are actually encapsulated in it. They are in there. It's marvelous.
Amen. And we do have a listener named Joe in Gainesville, Georgia. And Joe says that, I'm looking for Joe's question here. I just had it in front of me. Oh, here it is. Joe says, you obviously took the wonderful title of your book from Isaiah 42, verse 8, which states, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. And the rest of the verse says, neither my praise given to graven images. Isn't this a perfect way to introduce to our Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox friends, loved ones, and neighbors that any time that you introduce the use of graven images in a worship services, where you are bowing to them, where you are singing to them, where you are kissing them, and believing they have some kind of innate holy power, you are sharing the glory of the Lord with those graven images? That's a very good question. You want to comment on that, Pavel?
Yeah, I think you do. I will give you an example which happened right now in Czech Republic. From one of the Catholic churches was stolen skull of the Saint Zdislava. Zdislava, it's a lady, Saint Zdislava, which is quite venerated over here in by the Catholics in Czech Republic, and then even the Saint Wenceslaw skull is being just carried in the processions over here, and I think it is so strange. Somebody who believes in our Lord, who is without boundaries, who is so holy, who wants only that we will just bound to Him, and now we are bounding, you know, to skulls, and we are bounding to images which are made by men. That is horrible. I would say, is this distasteful? The God is the jealous God, and He will not give His glory to anybody else, whether it is us, whatever we do is everything depending on us, even though our mind and everything is made by Him, and nobody can transcend His will. And we are just some people, Catholics, not only then Buddhists and Hindus and so on, and then we can see it all around that people are just not only that, people are even crossing fingers. That's the same thing, you know. We are bounding to that, or the black cat just crossed my path, so that there's the bad stuff as well. So no, all the glory belongs to the Lord, to the God, because nothing can transcend His will. It is impossible.
And about it. One of the biggest conflicts that we have as those who believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, the biggest conflicts that we have with our, especially our Arminian Christian brethren and even Roman Catholics and Eastern Orthodox, is our belief in limited atonement, which is also called definite atonement, and particular redemption, which is, I think, my favorite of the three ways of saying it. Why is this so important? Because there are so many people who think that we are unnecessarily bringing about division in the body of Christ by emphasizing this. But why is it so important to you as a Christian? And you document this in the book, obviously. So why is this so important? And what are the other ripple effects that would occur if you reject this teaching?
Well, the limited atonement is one of the third point of Calvinism. It is most rejected, as you said. However, the God is limiting the cross, that's for sure, but Arminians are limiting as well. The Calvinist limits cross in scope, in extent. It means that it applies only to elected people. But Arminians are not doing it. It is God's limitation. He does it. And Armenians are limiting too. But the problem is Armenian limits cross in efficacy because the people just don't accept it, which means man limits it. And it is to me the most important thing, that the Calvinists believe that God limits his cross in scope. God does it. But in Arminianism, they limit the cross in efficacy and man does it. So to me, it is more important that what does God than what does man.
Amen. And Charles Spurgeon actually turned the tables on the Arminians and said that it is they who really limit the atonement provided by God, because they limit its power. They limit the atonement in a more important, vitally important way, because we who are Calvinists, we believe that the only thing limited about the atonement is the number of people for whom it is intended and accomplished. But as far as the power of that atonement, that is unlimited, and that's why everyone for whom Christ died, every single one of them will be saved. They will be atoned for and redeemed, whereas the Arminian has millions of people that allegedly are among those for whom Christ died, and yet they're going to hell. In fact, more people will be going to hell that Christ died for than will be going to heaven. And that really is much more of a limitation, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, and actually, you mentioned Charles Spurgeon. This quotation I included in my book, so it's there. Yeah. So,
praise God. And how has this book been received? What's been the response to it, not only in the Czech Republic, but elsewhere? And I know that you have it in you have the book in English, so that people who are English speaking around the world can benefit from it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you also have it in the Czech language.
In Polish.
Oh, in Polish.
It is in Polish. Yeah. Well, you know, when I wrote the book, I wrote it only for the Czech people. I mean, it never, ever crossed my mind that it could be translated into English because I don't want to sell ice to Eskimos. Okay. Because all what I learned was actually from books which were written in English. So I wrote it for the Czech audience. And the book is, I don't know, about 300 books. And then again, it's quite a lot of books like actually sold over here. About 300 books were sold over here. And of course, those people who likes it, they likes it. And they see the new view of God. I mean, this his sovereignty, so which is nice. But I translated it in Polish. I wanted to do it because in Poland, there is almost 40 million people. We have only 10 million. 40 million people, and it's a Catholic ocean. The Poland is Catholic ocean. And as far as I know, among those 40 million, there is about something like 300,000 or not even that of Protestant. And they are mostly Lutherans. And I found out it was published in northern Poland in Toruń. There is the Christian Foundation, and just recently, about a month ago, not even 3 weeks ago, the publisher Tadeusz Towlinski, he organized a conference, so there was the conference which was based on this book. Basically, it was the conference on sovereignty of God. So I'm very happy that in Poland, you know, it was done, and already 200 books were sold in Poland, which is again quite nice. I mean, you must believe we are not in the United States. That's a small quote unquote market. The Christian market is not so big, and. And I was not there because I had some health problems. So, but my wife was there, and the Czech publisher was there, and then we invited Jeff Volker from Arizona. So he was actually the main speaker, and he introduced those 5 points of Calvinism and in Poland. And I think that it will just grow. Because Tadeusz Tolwiński, that the man who organized this conference, he said that this is quite new to them and that there is quite opposition to Calvinism in Poland. So I'm very happy that it happened.
Yeah. So and my my ancestry on my mother's side is from Poland. My mother's parents were from Poland, and my mom, who was Roman Catholic all of her life, thanks be to God, 6 weeks before she perished from pancreatic cancer, she made a clear and vivid profession of faith in Christ. She gave Christ 100% of the praise, honor, and glory for her salvation. She renounced prayer to Mary and the saints and images. And she, time and time again, when asking her poignant questions, gave truly biblical answers to those questions, uncoached. And I am praising God for the utmost confidence that she is with Christ face to face for eternity now. And but my little Polish mama came to Christ, and I hope that many more Polish folks will come to Christ through your book. I'm so glad that you did have it published in the Polish language. And
I just wanted to say that almost all of the books which were published are sold in Poland, which is great. Yeah.
Amen. Well, we are going to our final break right now, and by the way, everyone who has submitted a question will receive a free copy of My Glory, I Will Not Give to Another by my guest, Pavel Steiger. And this is compliments of our friends at Calvary Press, where Joe Bianchi is the president, my dear friend, going back to the 1980s. And Joe, you will be getting the mailing addresses for these wonderful folks who have submitted questions. But if anybody would like to join us for the last segment, now is your time, because we are rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnsen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pavel Steiger after these messages.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
I'm
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvino, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
And please don't forget, folks, that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind all men in ministry leadership that you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, which will be held on Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. We will be featuring as our keynote speaker for the very first time Dr. David A. Harrell, the author of a number of books, including one that will be his theme for his keynote address, which is under the title, Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. That's Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Everything is free of charge, and not only is your admission free and your lunch free, but every man attending will receive a free heavy sack of brand new books, particularly selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, all absolutely free. If you'd like to register for this free event, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And last but not least, this program is also paid for in part by Royal Diadem Jewelers. If you are in the market for jewelry, whether for yourself or someone you love, whether you want to purchase jewelry they already have in stock at royaldiadem.com, or if you want to have a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, your business logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or whatever else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your mind, they will take what's in your mind and turn it into a physical, breathtaking, head-turning, mind-blowing, gorgeous, stunning piece of jewelry. And I've seen firsthand the mastery that RoyalDiadem.com has over customizing jewelry. So if you are in the market for jewelry, please purchase from RoyalDiadem.com, because not only do they provide for us financial support every single month automatically, but they also give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners, as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back with Pavel Steiger, and we are talking about his amazing book, My Glory I Will Not Give to Another, A Study in the Absolute Sovereignty of God. And we actually have the aforementioned pastor, who was once one of my pastors that I had mentioned earlier, because of his interview with me on Good Friday on the theme, Who Was Responsible for the Death of Jesus Christ? Mark Grimaldi of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Portland, Tennessee. He has a question for you. Early in my salvation, when I wrestled with the doctrines of Calvinism, it was an understanding of total depravity that convinced me of all the points. Do you find that if someone really understands the nature of man's depravity, that it should lead to embracing all 5 points. Pavel, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I think Yes. I think the total depravity is actually the number one. We have to realize that man is sinful. And I think that we can understand we start understanding the total depravity only in that moment when we understand the absolute holiness of God. This is something I cannot comprehend, because I cannot even imagine when I will be on the new earth with Christ that I will have not bad thoughts or like something like that. Not at all. I cannot imagine it, but I believe it will be like that. So the key to understand the total depravity is the absolute holiness of God. And once we understand the quote unquote the holiness of God, which is absolute, that there is not even a suit, of sin or anything like that, then we might understand the total depravity of ourselves. Because people think that they are pretty good people. When I talk to people, they truly think that they are pretty good, because they just compare themselves with other people. And I have doctors, they are unbelievers, but they just don't think that they are so bad. And I trust them, because common grace, they just are good doctors and they care of me. But it is not the quality or perfectness which God requires to be accepted by Him. And as we are, in this body, we are totally unacceptable, because even the best man, sins. I usually say to people, show me a man who does not sin, and I'll show you a man who will never die. Actually, even Christ died when he became sin. So that's what we are. We are totally deprived. That's why we are aging. That's why, we just have illnesses. That's why I have to have glasses and other problems and so on. But that's the problem. So the holiness of God, that's the key to understand our depravity. And if we understand our depravity, it will humble us. This is absolutely impossible. Once we are humbled, then we have nothing to come to Christ but with Christ. There is no way to be saved. Absolutely not. We cannot offer anything to Him. We have to be enclosed in Christ. We have to be baptized in Him.
Now, it seems to me that all of the 5 points of Calvinism are so strongly connected to one another that those that are Amaraldian or 4-point Calvinists don't seem to really have a solid basis to which to reject limited atonement, definite atonement, particular redemption, because the other points will just really unravel without that. Am I making sense? Am I overstating this?
Absolutely. Actually, in my book, when I go point by point, I always show first point of Calvinism in the first chapter. Then comes the second chapter. I have two of them, and I show how they tie together. Third, and I tie all those 5 points together, because if one is missing, none is valid. I mean, it is impossible. It is one package. And we actually even saw it when I was reading the Romans 5:8-11, that section of the word includes all of those 5 points. There's one package. No way to say I am only 4-point Calvinist and then discard the third one. Usually,
well, in the 3 minutes that we have left, brother, I would like you to just summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Well, on my heart, would be the most important thing, that people realize, that's what I actually said, how holy is God and how sinful we are. And then I would like to address that. Let's avoid this point, this thing, that usually man makes himself a little bit better. He elevates himself a little bit up, that he is not so bad. And then he actually degrades God and lower him down. So actually between the man and God, there is little place. But it's not like that. There is up to infinite place, room between us and God. I think this is the most important, to realize who we are and who is God. I think that's the most important thing to know, because then we see ourselves in proper light, and then we see the Lord in proper light. That's the most important, to see the difference, and then to realize how good he is, how gracious he is, that he just became a man and took us to himself by his power and by his pleasure. And we have to be thankful to him and just worship him and bow to him, that he is our Lord, that he saved us.
Amen. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the important websites that we need to announce. First of all, to find out more about our guest, Pavel Steiger, and his ministry and everything that he sets his hand to do for the praise, honor, and glory of Jesus Christ in the Czech Republic and beyond, go to reachbeyond.steiger, that's STEIGER .CZ, the abbreviation for Czechoslovakia, or Czech Republic, I should say, / newsletter. That's reachbeyond.steiger.cz / newsletter. And for the publisher's website, if you would like to purchase this book, My Glory I Will Not Give to Another, the website is calvarypress.com, calvarypress.com. And for those of you who have submitted questions, make sure you get me your mailing address so that Calvary Press Publishing can ship out your free copies that you've won today by virtue of submitting questions. By the way, since it is on a very similar subject, you might want to mark your calendar for Tuesday, June the 2nd, when I have Dr. Sam Waldron returning to the show. Dr. Waldron is an author and also the president of Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary in Owensboro, Kentucky. He is going to be addressing on the show misunderstandings about Calvinism. So I think that would be very valuable. And before we go, Jan, the translator that was here on standby, do you care to give your church website for those who are listening to this program who may live in Czechoslovakia or may visit it?
Yeah, the website is reformovani.kv.cz. Or if you search Reformovaná kongregácia Svätej Trojice, if you're here, you'll be able to find it.
Great, and I would love to have you back on the show as my primary guest to talk about your journey out of theistic Satanism. That would be a fascinating interview, if you would like to join us.
And we'll see about it.
Okay.
Let's talk about it in the future.
Okay, well, and I want everybody listening to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.